Greetings, this is Pastor Jeff Riddle from Christ Reformed Baptist Church in Louisa, Virginia, and this is the continuation of an occasional series of readings from and brief notes and commentary upon Eusebius of Caesarea's The Ecclesiastical History. Here is Book 1, Chapter 5. So then, after the necessary preliminaries to the history of the church proposed by us, let us begin as if starting a journey, with the appearance of our Savior in the flesh, after invoking God, the Father of the Logos, and Jesus Christ Himself, our Savior and Lord, the heavenly Logos of God, to give us help and assistance to truth in the narrative. It was then the 42nd year of the reign of Augustus, and the 28th year after the submission of Egypt and the death of Antony and Cleopatra, and with her the Egyptian dynasty of the Ptolemies came to an end, when our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, in accordance with the prophecies concerning him, was born in Bethlehem of Judea at the time of the census, which then first took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. This census in the time of Quirinius, Flavius Josephus, the most famous of the historians among the Hebrews, also mentions, and joins to the narrative another concerning the sect of the Galileans, which arose at the same time. Our own Luke has also mentioned this in one place in the Acts, saying, "After this man arose Judas the Galilean in the days of the census, and led away the people after him, and he perished, and all who obeyed him were scattered." In agreement with this, in the 18th book of the Antiquities, the writer referred to also gives the following details. "And Quirinius, one of those called to the Senate, who had filled the other offices and passed through all of them to become consul, and was otherwise of high rank, reached Syria with a small staff, having been sent by Caesar to administer the people and to make evaluation of their property. And little later," he says, "and Judas, the Gaulonite of the city called Gamala, took with him Zadok, a Pharisee, and instigated a revolt, for they said that the valuation led to nothing but plain slavery, and they called on the people to rally for liberty." And in the second book of the history of the Jewish war, he writes concerning the same man, "At this time a Galilean called Judas incited the inhabitants to revolt, calling them cowards to suffer the payment of tribute to the Romans, and, after serving God, to endure mortal masters." So far, Josephus. Here ends Book 1 and Chapter 5. And let's move on to some notes and commentary. First observation is that this is obviously a very short chapter. Having presented an introduction or a prelude to the life of Jesus, drawing upon Old Testament prophecies of the Christ, Eusebius begins his account of the life of Jesus by providing a time frame and even a date for his birth in Bethlehem. He places the birth of Jesus in the 42nd year of Augustus and the 28th year after the deaths of Antony and Cleopatra. Lake, in his footnote to the text of his translation, points out that this would place the birth year of Jesus as being in the year 1 BC. But this would not fit with Matthew, that says that Jesus was born during Herod the Great's reign. And we know from outside sources that Herod died in 4 BC. So Eusebius's estimation here must be incorrect. He also mentions that the birth of Jesus was during the census of Quirinius of Syria, the same census mentioned in Luke, and he equates this with the rise of Judas the Galilean in the days of the taxing mentioned in Acts 5:37, and he also calls attention to a parallel in the writings of Josephus, also making reference to this Judas the Galilean. Lake points out, however, in another note, however, that Eusebius, again, must be mistaken, since the census that he refers to would have occurred in AD 6, And, of course, this also would contradict the information in Matthew and Luke with regard to the birth of Jesus. Traditional scholars have suggested that the census mentioned in Luke 2, 1 through 3, was earlier than the one noted in Acts 5, 37, and as also noted in Josephus. This chapter shows how important it was, however, for believers to understand that Jesus had been born as a man in history. And even though Eusebius's attempt to provide a date for a year, at least, for the birth of Jesus, although that effort was faulty, it shows the emphasis on trying to ground the life of Jesus in real history. And it also demonstrates how, given the evidence that we have, it is difficult to establish with precision the exact birth date, birth year for Jesus. And of course, as a traditional Christian, we would say that we lean on the sufficiency of Scripture, that if this it was necessary for us to know that, we would have been told this in Scripture. But since it was not necessary, we were not told that, and we are provided all that we need in the Scriptures for faith and for godliness. And so it's not essential that we know the birth year of Jesus. Well, this ends this installment, and I'll look forward to speaking with you in the next one. Till then, take care and God bless.